Jim Sexton in studio with me today.
Double thumbs up.
Double thumbs up. The vice president of digital himself. This is your host, Thomas Allen, the fuzzy, the cuddly, the host with the most. And we have to come clean about something. We've been, I guess, purposely leading everybody astray a little bit at the beginning of every single show. I kind of like to get a little dramatic and talk about the plush Bassmaster Studios high atop the Bassmaster Towers overlooking beautiful downtown Birmingham, the Magic City in Alabama, the headquarters of Bassmaster, something that is mostly true. But what I've not been telling you is up till now, these shows you've been hearing have actually been taking place in my living room or my dining room, not inside the plush studios. But today, this is kind of an inaugural visit to our new reality, and we have been working diligently to build an in-house studio complete with very stinky adhesive to the back of pieces of foam that have been into storage for, seems like, years. But guess what? We did it on a budget, and we are coming to you from the official, very plush Bassmaster Studios in the Bassmaster Towers overlooking downtown Birmingham. Jim, we're for real, aren't we?
This is a great space. I do feel like, Thomas, the quality of this broadcast is going to improve.
Well, the quality of the guests may not improve as they normally. They're going to be the same dudes. We're going to talk fantasy fishing. This is Inside Bassmaster, and we have done a lot of cool stuff lately. Before we dig into fantasy fishing, we are a couple weeks behind. I'm sure you've been eagerly awaiting the next output of the podcast here, and I need to offer a brief explanation. I had scheduled myself to be at the St. Lawrence River event and at Champlain back-to-back, and I had an unfortunate family emergency that took me out of St. Lawrence a couple days early. In fact, I was there for one day of competition, had to fly home to Minnesota, be with my family. Everything's good. My wife's grandmother went to see Jesus, and we're all happy, thankful for her, and made it through a tough time. But what it did is it set us back a couple weeks, because I actually took the podcasting gear with me with intentions of producing one in between St. Lawrence and Champlain. And unfortunately, because I left the 100 pounds worth of radio gear, made the trip, and it actually just returned to Birmingham late last week. So we did the best we could to get back on the game. We are back in the game now, and we're going to start out talking with some of my favorite dudes, our pundit crew that consists of Pete Robbins, the Ronnie Moore, and Coy Greathouse. Gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out late with us tonight.
Good to be back.
All right. They're sounding eager, aren't they?
I think they are. The people who did well are eager.
And let's dig into our pundit crew. We're going to talk a little bit about how their selections did. We're going to kind of breeze through the last two events so we can get to what's coming. Pete Robbins, I think you had some good selections. Talk to me about St. Lawrence. How well did it go? Did Steve Kennedy pay out like you had hoped he would?
Steve Kennedy did not pay off for me at all at the St. Lawrence. He finished 60th. And I was really surprised by my picks. I had Edwin Evers, who you always expect to make a top 12 there, finished 40th. Clifford Perch, another one I expect to make a top 12, 30th. Kennedy, 60th. Maurizio Shimizu was my biggest disappointment, 107th. It's kind of like the SAT where you show up, get 400 points just for signing your name. That's what you get, 107th. The only one who saved me was Bernie Schultz. And I think a couple of guys in our group had Bernie Schultz at the St. Lawrence. He's obviously real good in New York, came in 12th in the St. Lawrence, and that was huge for me.
Well, so you did okay. Could have been a lot better. A couple of those lower finishes certainly hurt. Rolled over to Champlain. Were you able to make up some ground there?
Champlain was a fantastic tournament for me. My one disappointment was Chad Morgan-Taylor, but, you know, you want to avoid the bombs, and he was, so to speak, my bomb. But he finished 61st. He salvaged some points. My other four guys all made it into the money. I had Jamie Hartman, super rookie, in 38th. I had Steve Kennedy, who I begrudgingly rode for another week, finished 17th. Chad Pipkins, who I expected to do well, was 36th. And my big move at this tournament was to get on Aaron Martin's train. And as we all know, he had that monster final day and won the tournament.
Boy, to pick Aaron Martin's. In fact, there was he wrote something recently, or in his column, he talked about how he was thankful he was able to pay out for some of his fantasy selectors. So, I mean, you were one of the beneficiaries of that.
He was thanking you personally.
I think he was directing that at me. Yeah, he called me up to say that, you know, Pete, I appreciate you picking me, and I don't think Aaron knows what fantasy fishing is, to be quite honest. And if he did, I think he would be utterly confused by it. But I'm happy that he did well. I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for me.
It was an exciting tournament. And in fact, if you didn't follow it or didn't know, there was actually a weather day on the first day of Champlain. And so it was cut down to a three-day tournament, which means the top 51 on Sunday fished for the title. So Aaron was in 19th, I believe, starting the final day and was able to catch a tremendous 23-pound-plus bag and move into the lead, which was very surprising and very
historic.
Cool, historic.
It was historic, absolutely.
Jim,
it'll never be repeated, I figure, because, you know, even if we have a situation where you have more than 12 on the final day, it's still unlikely that someone would come back from that far.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we're not going to forget about. Historic is the right word. And Jim, I know you're really eager to talk about all your wonderful picks.
Boy, if we can just skip me, I'd feel better about it, because it's like talking about a bad date or something like that. Because I had two pretty bad tournaments. My St. Lawrence. I did have three guys make the top 50 cut. I had Jamie Hartman, Steve Kennedy. Thank you, Pete. I feel like I need to get permission from you to pick him now. But I did have him at Champlain. I'm sorry, I'm at Champlain, and I didn't have him at Champlain. I had a tough week at Champlain. I had 876 total. I had one guy make the top 12. That was Jamie Hartman. Feel great about that pick, and I rode him the next week where he didn't do as well. But I had three guys make the top 50 cut. Hartman, Justin Lucas placed 43, and Chad Pipkins at 48. My tough picks at St. Lawrence, I had Todd Faircloth. I it was one of those where, like, the day of, I thought, gosh, I need to change that, and I didn't get up early enough. So, and I had Mark Menendez, who finished 91st. So it was a very, very tough week for me. I cried in my beer. Hope to do better the next week, and I actually did worse. I did 797. I'm going to round that to 800 just to save a little bit of pride. I kept Jamie Hartman. He finished 38th. I had Steve Kennedy, who was my highest pick. He placed 17th. And then I had Chad Pipkins at 36th. My toughest pick at Champlain, and he's got a good history there, was Michael Iaconelli. He finished 93rd. And I had Shaw Grigsby, kind of a wild card pick there, but he placed 105th. So, you know, it's bad when your guys place outside the 50 cut or the 51 cut, but when they finish 105th, that really hurts.
Ouch. Well, you can't be good at everything, Jim.
Well, I'm very excited about my picks this week, and they're tentative. You know, we still have a little time to figure that out, but I feel like I got a great lineup. So I'm going into this feeling like I'm ready for a turnaround.
Well, let's hear about Coy. Now, Coy, I know this is kind of the time where your strategy has to start paying off if you expect to make leaps and bounds in the standings. How did yours turn out? Let's start with St. Lawrence.
Yeah, St. Lawrence was actually a really good tournament. You and I were kind of texting back and forth and jabbing a little bit about day one, where we had just a really, really solid finish after day one. Three out of five of my picks got worse each day progressively until the third day. And then I had two that finished strong in the top 12. But I had Bucket A, Edwin Evers, started in 12th after day one, ended in 40th. Seth Fider, third place, dropped all the way to 34th. That was a big shocker. I did not expect that. Sia had Alton Jones Sr. Really proud of that pick. I knew he was going to do well. He's done well year after year in the northern swing. Started 19th, finished 11th place. That was a good, strong finish. Bernie Schultz, genius pick. Doesn't make any sense, but he always does well. Finished 12th. Chad Pipkins, I expect him to do a little bit better, but he finished 48th, which is not terrible. Gave me a total of 1092. Felt pretty good about that. I was all the way up into the 96th percentile after day one and dropped all the way down to the 88th percentile.
Wow.
After day four was said and done. So I was really optimistic after day one and was a little bit disappointed after the tournament was over. But all in all, still jumped up a little bit. Champlain, on the other hand, I actually felt like maybe, you know, I made kind of a few gut instinctual picks at St. Lawrence, and I figured, well, let's do that again. And so I picked some guys that had a little bit of history there, it's a little bit older history, and it bit me in the butt. So bucket A, I actually stuck with Edwin Evers, and I expected him to do pretty well. Started off in ninth place, so I was like, yes, that's awesome, because he doesn't have great history there. I was really riding momentum. And ended up in 23rd. Now, he was my highest finisher in this tournament, it's not good. It doesn't look good from this point on. Bucket B, I had Jacob Prosnick. I don't know how he finished in 66th place. He's too good to do that, but sometimes it just happens. But 66 for him. Bucket C, Skeet Reese. He had talked on and on about how all he needed was a 25th place finish, and he was in the Classic, and he was going to do it. And I just felt, you know, sometimes confidence is key. He finished 53rd, so he did not meet his mark, and he didn't meet my expectations. So pretty frustrated about that pick. Bucket D, Tommy Biffle. He actually got significantly better, 71st to 56th, but still ended up middle of the pack. And Jesse Tacoronte, this guy, he killed it in the Opens out there, but 68th place really bit me. 843, I actually moved up with an 843 point average from the 88.7th percentile all the way to the 88.8th percentile. So I'm going the right direction, so that's good.
Well, you are going in the right direction, but I think you're going to have to pick the perfect team at the next event.
One of the interesting picks in there, Edwin Evers. Evers has, you know, has had a quiet year in terms of, I don't think he's had any top 12 finishes, but he's seventh in AOI, so he's doing something right and being consistent.
Climbing the leaderboard.
Yeah, he really is. It's mm-hmm. interesting.
Well, Ronnie Moore is out there with us somewhere. Ronnie, let's talk about your St. Lawrence and Champlain picks. Go.
Man, I was hoping to be able to rebound from my Dardanelle terrible collapse with my worst team ever, 617 points. And so I figured going to New York would help, but it did not. I actually paired another 600-something point performance at the St. Lawrence, and that basically signed, sealed, and delivered my fate on being able to maybe come back and win our little league or move up at least. But that's going to be hard to do after the St. Lawrence. I picked Jordan Lee. He was my anchor. He had an uncharacteristic, 70th plus place finish. I think he finished 77th that event. Very surprising. Really wasn't expecting that at all. And I was hoping he would be able to anchor my team. And another guy that I thought would do real well, and he's done well in New York before, and that was Dean Rojas. And he didn't even break 100 points for me. He was down in the 90s. That really hurt my team. I had two guys who made the top 50 cut to Fish Day 3, and that was Matt Herron and Brian Snowden. And they basically canceled each other out. I believe Matt Herron moved up a dozen places on day 3, but Brian Snowden fell a dozen places. So day 3 is moving day, an extra chance to get more points. And it was a wash, but with my two guys. And my wild card pick for the St. Lawrence was David Fritz. I don't know why I did that, but sometimes it's nice to just mix in some people. But this week was not nice to mix in David Fritz. Didn't do well, was in the 90th and worst finish there. He was my worst performer of the week, unfortunately. So I paired two 600-plus events back-to-back, and that cripples you. But Champlain was a bounce-back for me. So I think at Champlain, I had four guys finish in the top 30, which was fantastic. And all of my guys moved up basically every day. Some of them, moved back. They started up high. I think Adrian Avena was 11th after day one. He dropped back just a few spots, but then he gained it back on day 3, which ironically was the final day. So Adrian Avena was a great finish for me. I was really banking on him because he loved Champlain. My best finisher of the week was Jacob Wheeler. And, man, I thought I was in the driver's seat there with him leading the event. Going into the final day, he's a closer. I thought he was going to be able to finish it off. And I was hoping that it would be able to, get a win, get some extra points, maybe, and help my team. But he finished fourth. Can't complain about that at all. And no one really saw Aaron Martin's comeback in the works. We knew it was a possibility with 51 guys fishing the final day. So you never know what's going to happen there. But my other two guys were the Clifford Post and Drew Benton. They both needed those for their seasons. Drew Benton's right there where he's like 60th in points. If he can get a really good finish, a top 20 finish at St. Clair, he can possibly make the AOI championship. You know, in last year's rookie of the year, he expects to be back in the Classic. So he would love to get that done. Cliff Approach, he's going to another smallmouth venue. I expect to carry that momentum over. And then my only poor performer of the week was Shaw Grigsby at Champlain. I figured he would maybe make the run to Ticonderoga. He was really excited to go fishing and was really bummed that day one was canceled. So I was excited with that pick. I didn't change anything after the canceled day. And he ended up stumbling, finished 105th. Kind of hurt my team big time. If I would have had a 60th or 70th place finisher for my worst guy, I would have had a lot better tournament. But 105th will do that to you. But overall, with the way the 2 weeks prior to Champlain wins, I will take over a 1,000-point effort there. But with Pete's final day comeback with Aaron Martins, that took my lead away that I was gaining on him, and he just passed me. So it's going to be very slim to none chance for me to be able to take Pete this year.
Well, and I'm sure Pete is happy to hear that, and he's going to have a chance to talk about who he's going to select for St. Clair in just a minute. But before we do that, two things I want to touch on. My selections, which I hear a lot of crying going on here. You know, there's a little bit of confidence, but a lot of boo-hoos, and I don't really feel bad for any of you, even though Pete is still on top of me in the leaderboard. So we'll start with St. Lawrence River. This is kind of interesting, and I made some funny decisions after this going into Champlain. I wished I hadn't, but I had Bucket A, Edwin Evers, finished in 40th place. Bucket B, I had Seth Fighter, who went from day one, third place, day two, 18th place, day three to 34th. You wouldn't expect him it just kind of surprised me that his smallmouth fishery like that would go that way for him. But hey, you know what? I can appreciate the kid. So that was Bucket B, Seth Fighter, finishing 34th. You're going to recognize all these numbers because they're almost consecutive. Bucket A, Edwin Evers, finished 40th. Bucket B, Seth Fighter, finished 34th. Bucket C, Matt Heron, finished 44th. Bucket D, Justin Lucas, finished 43rd. And Bucket E, I picked Chris Lane, who actually didn't have a bad tournament considering his year, and finished 45th. So my highest finisher for St. Lawrence was Seth Fighter in 34th, and then I had positions 40, 44, 43, 45 covered with my selections in a total score of 963. And honestly, I would like to see better than that, but because my average has been right around that, I actually climbed up the overall percentage by just a couple fractions of a percentage, but Champlain paid off a little bit better for me. And this is one of the first times on a smallmouth fishery. This year the first time I did not pick Seth Fighter, and I wished I had. But I kind of thought Dave Lefebvre would be a strong contender, and unfortunately, he didn't perform as well as I would have liked. Bucket A, I went with Brandon Palinick, who got third place. That was a great selection. He's kind of highly owned, but I thought, you know, it's a pretty sure bet.
Good one.
Way he's going. So I did go with BP. Bucket B was Dave Lefebvre, who finished in 86th place. He improved on his day one performance, going from 88th to 86th, but not much to earn me anything. Bucket C, I went with Matt Lee. It's the first time I've ever picked him. I feel like his momentum has been rolling along. Day one, he was in 7th, day two in 5th, and then he finished in 12th place. And honestly, I can't complain about a top 12 finish. That's two so far in a top 12.
That's three. He's had three this year.
Yeah. Well, for my fantasy pick on this tournament.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's doing much better than he has in the past, and I'm glad that I picked him. Bucket D, Paul Mueller, mostly paid off, finishing 34th place. And then in Bucket E, I went with Takahiro, who bit me and finished in 81st. So if it weren't for those 81 to 86 place finishers, I would have had a much better score, but that was 967. So, like, within a couple points of St. Lawrence. And that jumped me all the way up to the 89.6 percentile. Oof. And I'm going to have to make some good selections at St. Clair to move that into the top 10, which is my goal. That's my goal because that's what Coy said my goal should be. And, I listened to him probably far more than I should, but it is what it is. Now, before we move on, two things. Let's talk about the St. Lawrence River, the perfect team. And looking at this, I don't think anybody came close, really. For a grand total of 1,421 points, Bucket A was obviously Kevin Van Dam, who produced 360 points. Bucket B was Brent Ayler with 285 points. Bucket C, Brandon Coulter, with 264 points. That was a surprise.
Yeah.
And bucket D, probably the biggest surprise of the event, was Brock Moseley at 295. He had a second-place finish, best finish in his Elite Series career, needed that. And bucket E, partially the reason I might have looked at something wrong. Oh, wait, no. Our bucket E for St. Lawrence was Takahiro. I thought that would roll over pretty well for me. Unfortunately, it did not. And let's go over to the perfect team. I hopefully have this here somewhere. So the perfect team for Champlain, now again, we lost a day, because of the weather on day one. But interestingly, there were still some, cool selections here. This is the first time I've seen this since I've been managing fantasy fishing, but in bucket A, either Brandon Palahniuk or Jacob Wheeler would have sufficed as your best choice in bucket A. And the reason that that happened, Palahniuk posted 290 points for his third place finish. Jacob Wheeler earned 285 points for his fourth-place finish. The bonus 5 points was earned by Jacob Wheeler for leading on day two, put him to 290. And so that's how that works. Anyway, so
boy, back to that perfect team at St. Lawrence where Brock Moseley came in second. Got to give him his props. Guy from Mississippi goes mm-hmm. up to upstate New York and finishes second. I'm looking, and he finished 45th at Champlain inside the cut. Looks like he's made 3 cuts this year.
Really?
And so, see, a second-year pro?
Second-year pro.
Coming into his own. It's mm-hmm. impressive to see that.
Well, it doesn't happen all that often. Far too often you do see guys that just struggle for a couple years and drop out. And, you right. know, there's going to be some surprises this year with that. But it is nice to see something good happen. So, bucket A at Champlain was Brandon Palahniuk or Jacob Wheeler. Bucket B, Aaron Martins, obviously, produced 345 points. Bucket C, another anomaly, Kelly J, who I believe this is his second year, was the best selection in bucket C. However, nobody in fantasy fishing selected Kelly J.
Wow.
So he was an untouched hero.
We are all sad because of that.
Yeah, somebody should have picked him. Who would have known? Bucket D, Drew Benton. Bucket E, Chris Lane. Chris Lane has slowly been digging himself out of that bottom of the barrel hole. I don't think he's got a classic potential on the line. I think he's too far out, which kind of can make a guy dangerous. You know, your mind is at ease yeah. and moving on. So that, my friends, is St. Lawrence and Champlain in a nutshell.
Kelly J, by the way.
Hey, Thomas.
Yeah.
He's 39th in AOI.
39th in AOI.
He's having a good year.
Coy, what do you got?
I just wanted to say something real quick. For the guys that are listening, guys and girls who are listening here, I just saw something really interesting on the winner from this last event for fantasy fishing. They scored 1,374 points, and it won them a gift card. They flat out missed 2 tournaments this year so far. So they're in the 67th percentile. So I just wanted to say, if you've missed the tournament or if you have just bombed or tanked, you've still got a chance to win these gift cards. So stick with it. You don't have to have a perfect season. That's what's beautiful about this fantasy fishing deal. It's free. You can win massive gift cards to Bass Pro, and you can win a boat for free. Like that keeps me going. But I just thought it was an interesting point that they just missed 2 tournaments and they came back in after missing St. Lawrence and won this thing with 1,374 points and won a gift card.
Yeah, so that's a great point. It is, and I think I might vote that Coy become the fantasy fishing commissioner next year, which would unfortunately take him out of the running to win anything other than bragging rights.
No, it's a good point. And for that reason alone, we should put him into it.
No, that's actually a great point. You're right. You don't have to spend a dime to participate. In fact, you don't even have to be a member of Bass. Although we would like to encourage that. The more members we have, the better off the organization is.
And if you're a member of Bass and you win in a particular week, you get an extra $500.
Extra.
Mm-hmm.
So, good stuff. Let's switch gears. We have got one regular season Bassmaster Elite Series event left for the 2017 season, and it is at the famed Lake St. Clair right outside of Detroit, Michigan. It is a smallmouth factory. Last time we went, Todd Faircloth won, and it's got giant smallmouth in it, and we got some hammers right now. The smallmouth guys seem to be just trucking along, headed into this, and there's a lot of things to be considered as you make your selections. But keep in mind, momentum, angler of the year points, and prowess on the brown bass waters. And I know we've got some interesting insight coming. So let's scoot right back to Pete and talk to me about what you have in line for St. Clair. And that's coming up August 20, let's see, is that the 24th, that first day, the Thursday?
Yeah, it is.
24th. Right.
24th. So, Pete, the floor is yours. Tell us what we need to know.
I'm excited about this because you go to St. Clair, you know, everyone's going to have limits. And the difference is always, can you catch 3.5 pound fish versus 3.25 pound fish? And it doesn't seem like it should be a big deal, but the same guys always seem to dial in those slightly better fish. And it's kind of what St. Clair is all about. It doesn't have massive drops. It doesn't have tremendous structure. It's those little differences, those 1 foot drops. I talked to one elite angler who went up there and he spent 3 days graphing, and he said he was super excited because he found 6 places where there were a foot and a half depth change that he didn't know about, and he's convinced he's going to catch them there. So that's the sort of little inside baseball I like to know. And bucket A, tough not to pick Brandon Pelinek here. He's fishing out of his head right now, but he and KVD are eating up 60% of the ownership. So I'm going to go with another sure bet in bucket A and Seth Fider. I think he's going to catch him again. It's like the old UPS saying, what can Brown do for you? Anytime there are smallmouth involved, you know that Fider's going to cash a check. Less easy for me is bucket B. Wanted to pick Aaron Martins again. I don't know. I just have a hunch that it's not going to pop. Really tempted to pick Alton Jones Sr., who has done well on the Great Lakes in the past. But I was looking back at Fletcher Shryock, and Fletcher Shryock has not made the Classic since his rookie year when he won an Open and qualified for the 2012 Classic. He's in 44th right now in the Angler of the Year race, and he has a tremendous record. St. Clair and Erie, which are both in play in this tournament. So I'm leaning towards Fletcher right now, but I may waffle back and forth between him and Alton Jones Sr. between now and the tournament. Bucket C, I'm finally getting off the Kennedy horse, not because I think he's going to do poorly. In fact, he's done well at times on the Great Lakes, but I'm going with Iaconelli. Iaconelli's another one who is outside of the cut, not only for the Classic right now, but also for the Angler of the Year Championship. He's in 55th in Angler of the Year. He had a year a couple years ago when he was in danger of not qualifying for the Classic, and he won an Open on Erie to get back in. I normally don't believe in clutchness, but in Ike's case, I do. Bucket D,
and
I'm going
Ike,
with a high
Ike
ownership
too.
Pick.
I think Ike has the longest streak going in terms of Classic qualifying years. It's a big number. It's like 19 years.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. And there have been several years where I think he was close to not making it.
That's
and
right.
Always manages to pull a rabbit out of his hat in the end.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I'm sure we'll want to get into after this: the sheer number of incredible superstars who are not in the running for the Classic right now. In bucket D, I am going with a high percentage pick. I'm going with Chad Pipkins, who I don't think he has a chance to make not only the Classic, but the Angler of the Year Championship. And in fact, I think there's probably a chance he wouldn't requalify for the Elites, but for the fact that he's doing extremely well in the Northern Opens. But he's a hammer every time they catch up, they get up on smallmouth waters, particularly Erie and St. Clair. That's his home water, and he's going to catch them. I thought about picking Paul Mueller, he's been kind of quiet. But in the end, I convinced myself to get off of Pickens as my pick. But to me, at this point, it's tough because these are guys who've been doing poorly all year. I really want to pick Marcel Bain, who's done well in the Great Lakes in the past, really good drop shotter, good with a swim bait. I just can't do it. When guys get on that momentum tear, for some reason they can't get off of it, and they just need to press the reset button on next year. So I'm going to try and step in the end. I realize it's a little bit of a wild card. He's enough of a veteran that I think he can make something out of nothing and potentially could have a really good tournament. So my picks are either Alton Jones or Fletcher Shryock, Iaconelli, Pipkins, and Snowden.
I think that's a pretty strong roster. And if you are, I'm going to let Coy talk about this next. If you are looking to move up in your overall standings, it's time to start taking some big risks. I mean, you're either going to make big jumps or you're not at this point. You've got one regular season event and then the AOI Championships. You have two tournaments that you can increase your standing with fantasy fishing. So you've got to make some good decisions. And if you're looking at moving up, highly owned anglers have a tendency to not move you up the leaderboard as much as you'd like. So the risk is something you need to consider. Coy, talk me through your picks and why you're doing what you're doing.
I made my picks almost immediately after it opened again, and it was like a day after, I guess, but I was excited about my team. Ownership was reasonable, but, you know, kind of mid-range, but reasonable. And then, like, 2 days later, I was talking to my fantasy fishing buddy out here, and he said, "I can't believe you're picking all these high-owned guys." And I said, "What in the world are you talking about? They're like, you know, 3 to 8% owned." And he said, "No, there's a strong favorite in every single bucket." And I said, "Oh goodness!" So I went to look at it, and sure enough, every single pick that I had posted was the high owned guy in that bucket. So Brandon Palahniuk was the highest owned guy in bucket A. I had him. I changed him out to somebody who's got great history there, but also is fishing strong this year and is good on this kind of water, even though he's from Texas, and that's Todd Faircloth at 2.8% owned. I had to make a couple of, I guess, the problem with picking low-owned guys sometimes, and I'm about to shake up your whole world, Thomas, so sorry about that. When you get to this point in the year, if you pick a if you want to make big jumps, you pick low-owned guys over the favorites. If you want to get your butt handed to you and drop a lot, you pick low-owned guys over the favorites. So either way, there's a risk either way. So if you pick a low-owned guy and 50% of the people do better than you in that bucket, that's not good. So in an effort to not drop enough or drop down, because I'm really shooting for that 90 percentile, I've got 1.22% or whatever to go. I want to make smart choices, which in this case is going to mean I have to pick somebody who's high owned, because there's some shoe-in, no way they're going to do bad guys that are dominant favorites. So bucket A, like I said, had Palahniuk. He's at 30% owned. Can't do that. Went to Todd Faircloth. I think he's going to be a safe bet. Bucket B, I had Aaron Martins. Duh. I knew he was going to be a high-owned guy. Should have known that to begin with. He was not high-owned when I picked him. He was like 18, maybe 20% most. But he's 47% owned. I can't do that. Alton Jones Sr. is good enough on these kind of lakes that I can put my money on him. I think he's going to do really well, score me some good points. It's scary, though, because Aaron Martins, he was supposed to win there, and his boat broke down on the way home, and he ended up coming in 12th. And I picked him that year at St. Clair, and it hurt my feelings that he didn't win it, because he was supposed to win it. Still won AOI that year. But I'm having a hard time with this one. I really want to pick Aaron Martins. 47% is insane, though. Bucket C, I picked Jonathan Van Dam, Northern Lakes. He's done really well there. He did better the 2015 tournament than the 2013 tournament. But he was the top, whatever that was, top eight. He was in eighth place in 2015.
I believe so.
So, yeah, I was excited about that. And then all of a sudden he's 37% owned. Now, he's one of those that I'm toggling back and forth. I don't know if I can get off of picking him. I will say that since Pete is not picking Steve Kennedy, it's probably a safe time for the rest of us to do so.
That is a fact.
I think it's a great time. This is a bargain.
Yeah. So, I mean, what Steve Kennedy seems to love to do is when Pete doesn't pick him, he shows him that he can catch him.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve Kennedy's in the back of my mind. Also, Jacob Prosnick is in the back of my mind. He's done really well on this kind of stuff. I expect him to do well at Mille Lacs again. So, He's a great bargain, too, at 6%. So there's a few people to consider in there. JVD is where I'm landing right this very second. Also, Bucket D, I was excited about Chad Pipkins. I had him at St. Lawrence. He did well. I had him at Champlain, and he didn't do that bad. He cashed a check, so he at least got me some points. But he's 40% owned in this bucket. Heavy, heavy favorite. And I don't really know who to go to outside of that. I looked at a couple of guys. There's some guys that have some good history there. The one little gem, and this is going to – you guys probably don't even think about this guy when you're thinking about these lakes. In 2013 and 2015, Keith Poche posted an 11th and a 13th place at the St. Clair tournaments. Out of nowhere. Doesn't make a lick of sense. But he, who knows? If history is going to repeat itself, he's going to be a good person to put your money on. So something to think about. Right now, I've still got Chad Pipkins. And then Bucket E. Again, not a whole lot of just really great picks in here. The story of Bucket E all season long has been Takahiro Mori and Chris Lane. And Chris Lane is kind of he's generating a little bit of last-minute momentum here. He could post another good tournament here. He's won on the St. Clair River. He's hard not to pick. Takahiro Mori also has done very, very well. Hard not to pick him. I'm going with Chris Lane right now, and really Takahiro with a 4th and a 34th place finish at St. Clair is my only other person that I'm considering right now. So I've got a lot of high ownership, and fortunately we've got a week or two left before this is really going to have to lock in. Basically, whenever my article is out, that's when I'm going to have it locked in. But that's what I've got right now. And such high ownership, but if, you know, 33% of the guys in Bucket E, which Bucket E is a game changer. If you don't do well in Bucket E, then that's bad news. You're going to get jumped by a lot of people. The guy who makes that genius pick in Bucket E is going to make a big move. But if I get beat by 33% of people in Bucket E, it's going to be bad news. So I've got to weigh that out because if these heavy favorites really change the game.
You know, Cole, you kind of have a way of making me step back and think about playing my fantasy fishing a little bit differently. And you are right. I'm going to lose a little sleep over what you said. But I do agree, if you're not too far away from your objective, playing it smart might pay off better than taking a big risk with somebody. However, if that risk pays off, you could do well.
Yep. Agree with that.
Ronnie Moore, who do you got lined up for St. Clair?
Well, guys, I'm excited for St. Clair. I think that we've hit it, you know, two of the last four seasons. It's almost like every other year we hit it, and it's a little different every single time. You know, you had a Chris Lane one at the mouth of Lake Huron and, you know, the river right there that leads to St. Clair. There's always guys that factor in the top 12 from Lake Erie, and then there are always guys who have a chance maximizing their time fishing right there in St. Clair. And last year, final day comeback, Todd Faircloth was able to take the win. So or last time we were there, 2015, I should say, Todd Faircloth won. So my fantasy fishing team's a little different. Some of the guys mixed in some of my picks are guys that I'm looking at. So, Coy, you need to stop pointing out the guys that I'm trying to be sneaky with in your guys that you're considering, you know, to make a change. So we're going to have to stay away from those guys for sure. But for my team, you know, I got some guys that we'd expect in the last couple of events to do well. But no one mentioned him this time, and I think Edwin Evers, my Bucket A pick, I think that he's real solid. He's done well there before, you know. In 2013, he maybe took it a little conservative. He was leading angler of the year, didn't do his normal deal. He normally risks it, goes to Lake Erie, and he'll make that long run. Well, he had a good points lead, didn't do that, ended up costing him. He didn't have that great of a tournament. I think this year, 7th in points. Can't really lose that much, can't really gain that much. So I think he's going to do his normal deal. He's going to just do his normal comfort zone and probably, you know, I don't know if he's going to go to Lake Erie or not, but I feel like he's going to fish more free in this event than past years because there's not a lot on the line for him other than pride and maybe staying in the top 10 in points and whatnot. So he's my Bucket A pick, my Bucket B pick. Alton Jones Sr., these guys have mentioned him. Touched on him for Bucket B. Really solid guy. I avoided him at the St. Lawrence and Champlain, even though he can do well at both fisheries, just saving him for this event because it seems like, you know, we never see, we said it on Bassmaster Live, we've never seen Alton Jones do well with a hard lure in his hand. So another soft plastic tournament coming up at St. Clair, I'd expect him to do well. So he's my best. Jacob Poroznik. Now, Jacob Poroznik, over his whole fishing career, not just the Elite Series, but back when he started, he hasn't really fished with much pressure on his shoulders because he's always one of those top 10, top 15 guys. Well, this year he's right around the 40th place mark on that unofficial classic line, just below it, depending on how it shakes out. We still have open to factor in, as well as the guys who double qualified. So I think Jacob Voroznik's going to have some pressure on him, but I think that'll do good for him here. He's not going to have to be conservative. He's not going to have to play it safe. He's going to be able to go out and try to win, or at least try to get a top 12. And I think sometimes that pressure brings up the best in some anglers. And I think it's one of these, this St. Clair could be an event that's going to, you know, not shake the cobwebs loose, but I think it's going to get him and his mindset right going into the AOI Championship. There's no way you want to miss a classic, especially on Lake Hartwell, where, if we don't remember, back in 2015 when Casey Ashley won, we were delayed on day one, and it really hurt Jacob Voroznik, and he came up short. He was in the running for taking that classic title. So I know he wants another shot at Hartwell, so I know he's going to bring his A game for these last two events. Affordable. Kind of surprised me.
I think because he hasn't had those top 12s that we're used to this year, no one's really talking about him. So good ownership person is there for him. Bucket D.
I'm going with Brett Height. I've really been shocked with the way the schedule is lined up, that he hasn't factored more this season. You know, he didn't duplicate a top 12 like he did at Toledo Bend. I expected him to do well at some of those big fisheries like that, Rayburn, Toledo Bend. And it didn't show out exactly like we saw it. He's in bucket D, uncharacteristic. But I got to watch him on the water in 2015 at St. Clair. That guy's a magician with a spinning rod in his hand. Everybody knows how good he is with finesse tactics, Nico rigs, drop shots, things like that. But what really impressed me is this guy's electronic savvy. He really knows how to dial him in. And so whether he goes out into really deep water or he stays in the bowl of Lake St. Clair, I think you'll be able to find those subtleties. You know, like Pete mentioned, anglers probably going to be looking for those slight drops, because if you have a whole bowl like St. Clair, like Lake Okeechobee, a lot of similar depths, a little bit of change can really help. And I think that he's going to be one that's going to be nothing to lose, other than just gaining some pride this week. So I think Brett Height will do well. And Bucky D, I'm picking Takahiro Mori. I haven't talked about him a lot this year. He's in Bucky D for a reason, but Chris Lane's going to get a lot of percentage points this week. People picking him. He's on a hot streak. So I'm going to avoid him just for that fact. I know that factors in for Coy's picking. So that factors for me as well. Really hard to predict Bucket E this late in the season. There's guys fighting. This could be their last few days of the League Series competition. And it could be a chance for them to turn their years around and maybe show the people watching that they can compete for years to come. So pride is a big factor for Bucket E, but these guys are going to have to bring in. So Takahiro Mori is probably the safest pick with Zal Dane and Chris Lane and Bucket E. They're taking up 60%, so I'm safe, even though Takahiro is the third most picked guy. He's going to be he's leading the charge of all the lesser picked guys. So Takahiro, my Bucket E pick.
You know, and he did pretty well at St. Lawrence, but didn't do as well as Champlain, so maybe right. It's time for a bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking, Jim?
Well, I think there's three really interesting races going on at this tournament that that should guide your picks. One is the AOI race, and that's mm-hmm. maybe the top seven, top ten at the most who are in that and fighting hard in that race. The second is to get inside the classic cut, which is loosely the top 40. So the guys on the bubble there are really going to be fighting hard, and then you got guys that are trying to make the AOI championship. And that it's really interesting to look right outside the top 50 cut and see Skeet Reese at 51st, I believe. Yes, Skeet's at 51st. Iaconelli's at 55. They're still within shooting distance. Brock Mosley, who we talked about a little bit, is 58. Jonathan Van Dam's 59. So it's really interesting races going on that you know, those guys are going to put more energy into this tournament. Not that they all won't be. So what I'm thinking about for this tournament, Bucket A was tough for me. There's so many good picks in there this time.
This time of year, too. I mean, they get stacked on top of each other.
Right, and some great smallmouth anglers there. You got Brandon Palahniuk, KVD, Seth Feider, both there, all three of them there. Edwin Evers, which you guys have talked about. I think Edwin is really interesting at this tournament. You know, he had that poor tournament when he was leading AOI at St. Clair, So I got to think Edwin comes into this thing with some vengeance, and somebody talked about he doesn't have a lot to lose here, so I think he's a really interesting pick. And then Faircloth, who, Faircloth won it on St. Clair with, you know, so many people making runs to Erie, Chris Lane winning 2013, I think it was, up at the mouth of Huron. So I'm struggling right now there. Brandon Palahniuk has had such an amazing year. He's had 7 out of 8 top 50 cuts, and he's hit 6 out of 8 top 12. I tend to think eventually a guy stumbles, and particularly when he needs it the most or wants it the most. And I wonder if this is that tournament for Brandon. I may not pick him for that reason. KVD comes out of the Champlain tournament having a pretty poor tournament for him. After winning and going wire to wire at the St. Lawrence River.
He did go from top to like 74th or something like that.
He really did. He didn't make the cut to fish on Sunday. So KVD, I like KVD as a pick, although he's got the highest percentage in the bucket. So I don't know. Right now I think I like Edwin for this one. We'll see on that one. Bucket B, I thought I had a brilliant pin. Well, actually, not brilliant, like nobody else would do it, but really like Amart going into this one. You know, he comes out of Champlain with so much momentum and excitement, enthusiasm.
First cut of the year.
He goes from, 50th place to 24th. He regains some of his mojo. So I really like picking Amart there. And he, too, I think has a little bit of vengeance to play out at this tournament with, being in position to win it the last time we were there. And he has equipment issues coming back in from Erie and finishes 12th.
And so likely would have won.
Yeah. I'm tempted to pick him anyway, although at 47%, that's an epic ownership number.
It's strong.
If I don't pick him, I'm going to go Matt Lee, I think. Matt Lee's kind of on a great roll.
Got a lot on the line right now. He's close to the classic cut.
He really is. So I like him there. So there's my bucket B. C, thinking about those guys that are kind of on the bubble right now, I like Justin Lucas here. Justin Lucas has really climbed up the leaderboard in the last few tournaments. He's 64th in AOY. Expect him to have a strong tournament.
He's going to need a strong tournament.
Yeah, he is. He's got a shot of getting in to AOI, but it's a bit of a long shot. He's going to have a great tournament. But he's the kind of angler, I think, that could do that. The other guy I like here in Bucket C is Jonathan Van Dam.
Mm-hmm.
He's a homer. That's a home lake for him. He's 59th in AOI. Boy, you know he'd like to fish at Mille Lacs. So, and he's had a strong year. JVD had 2 top 12 cuts, 2 that I remember.
It was Ross Barnett.
Ross Barnett, where he was first and second, where he was second to his dad at one point, or his uncle.
Yeah, it was second and third. I think it was Dustin Connell edged out KVD, and JVD took third place.
Third.
So, yeah, he's got having a better year.
And then he finished top 12 at St. Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. And he finished 8th last time we went to St. Clair. So, he's
very good.
He's got a lot going there.
Liking that pick. So, may go there. I too, was really liking Chad Pipkins in Bucket D. He's 79th in AOI, so his chances are very slim to get into AOI. He'd about have to win it.
Yeah, but it makes him dangerous, right?
Yeah, it does, and he knows those waters well. So I like him there. Coy talked about Keith Poche. That's a heck of a pick there.
He's right about that.
Keith, I didn't look to see where he is in AOI, but...
I've got that up. I've got that up right here.
Where Keith
is. I feel like he's had last cup.
67th.
All right. He's a dangerous man, and he needs it.
That's so, pushing it. I mean, again, I think if I'd have to do math, and I could be dead wrong on this, but I think if you're in the 60s, you're very, very close to being mathematically out of it.
That's right.
However, a win, which is not impossible, could certainly bump you up into that ballpark. But being the last tournament of the year, one tournament to make that many jumps, pretty tough. A lot of other people have to fall.
No, it really is. And Bucket E, really like Chris Lane there. I'm excited to see him doing well. I looked at his record a couple minutes ago, and he's made 3 out of the last 4 cuts. All right, and he finished 10th at Champlain. So he's got the momentum train going. Now, crazy as it sounds, he's 95th in AOI after making three cuts. And
had some really tough tournaments.
His first three tournaments, he finished 100 or above. So, boy, you got to do well to climb back up from that. Chris has got a huge ownership percentage there. So.
Yeah, but you know what? See, Coy, he's enlightened me. Coy has enlightened me again. I don't want to give him too much credit, but he's right about something here. If you look at this bucket and you look at your options, you look at the momentum that is, it's the up and down of Takahiro Omori.
Right.
You never know. You know, Zaldane is probably a pretty safe choice, but you don't know. The momentum is with Lane, and it would really hurt to get beat by 33% of these guys.
Yeah, it would. And I'm hearkening back to a year where I had much better numbers in fantasy fishing. And I went with more of the high percentage guys that year. Mm-hmm. And I have gone toward, you know, shooting for the home run in every bucket, the, you know, least likely guy. And that's not paying off for me right now. So it's time for a little bit of strategy change for me, and I may go with Chris Lane and E.
Hey, it's all about pride now, Jim.
I need some help there.
You need to pull it together. Well, I've been excited about this. I think I have a quality team selected. I haven't made any changes, but literally since I've been listening here, I've been reaffirmed that my decisions could be on par. Now, I've actually got some similarities to Ronnie Moore, which it scares me a little bit. Ronnie and I like to go back and forth.
Given Ronnie's recent track record as well.
Yeah, well, he's dive bombed, but he needs a good tournament, and I think he's on the right path. So I'm going to start in bucket A here. I'm going with the relativity of this angler, Seth Fighter. Again, being a Minnesota guy myself and having a Minnesota cat doing so well with such a strong northern presence this year and doing well in some of the southern tournaments. So he's looking at his first classic berth as a very likely situation. He'd have to really dive bomb in this one to fall out of that running, and I don't see that happening. He's got the momentum. When there are brownfish swimming, he's tough. What is it? When brown deliver? I'm not going to steal Pete's thunder here. That was a great. What can brown do for you? That's right. That's such a great thing. So, and you know, if you think about it, Seth would probably be able to pull off those really high brown shorts and the brown shirt tucked in and the long blonde hair with the big trucker brown hat.
Be a good look for him.
Yeah. Well, we're getting off topic, but I'm going to go with Seth Fighter in bucket A. I think he's a much better bargain than I would expect. Right now at only 10.9%. And, yeah, I realize KVD and Palahniuk are pretty hardy choices right now. But if you're looking to make a move, that's almost a guaranteed climb up the board, provided his motor doesn't fall off his boat or something like that. So bucket A is going to be Seth Fighter. And in a similar vein to what Ronnie Moore said, I've got Alton Jones selected for bucket B. He's done very well with plastics. He's done very well with smallmouth bass. He's one of those anomalies, the Bernie Schultz, if you will, a southern angler that does very well in northern clear waters with a lot of smallmouth bass. I think that Alton doesn't need a lot to climb up the leaderboard, but needs a good tournament to kind of solidify his year for pride, as Ronnie was saying. So Alton Jones and bucket B, I think that's solid. Bucket C, I remember picking Justin Lucas out of bucket E for like four tournaments in a row, and two of those he bit me. But as he slowly started to climb out, he started to pay off, and I look at this being Justin Lucas's last shot at the 2018 Classic, let alone making the Angler of the Year tournament. So he's going to swing for the fences, and we know he's far better than represented this year. It's been a tough year for him. I see him doing very well in smallmouth waters. You know, when the guy can use a spinning rod, he's dangerous, as good as they come. So bucket C is going to be Justin Lucas, and that is looking at some very intriguing anglers here. You know, it's probably a good bet to go with Steve Kennedy simply because Pete isn't. There's numbers behind that decision. So that's a good decision. I know Coy's kind of teetering back and forth, but you look at the strongest ownership here, Jonathan Van Dam, probably a very safe bet. Mike Iaconelli, probably a safe bet. He's dangerous when he has to swing for the fences. That's where he's at right now. And as Pete said, he's been in positions where he was out of it and had a miraculous comeback. This is that tournament for Ike. So he's got to do well, and I think it's going to set up well for him. So far, bucket A, Seth Fighter, bucket B, Alton Jones, bucket C, Justin Lucas, bucket D, again, Ronnie and I seeing eye to eye. I have Brett Hyde selected.
See, when that happens, I'm going the other direction.
And that's probably a good bet. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about the his past performance here, that's definitely a smart decision. But he's got 16.2% ownership, and that's substantially less than Chad Pipkins. And there's a couple other guys that have strong ownership but are bargains. And I also look back at the 2015 standings, and he made the top 12 cut. So Brett Hyde has a lot to gain in the 60s, not having a good year, looking at missing the Classic. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have a strong showing. A top 12 just might put him in contention to make the Angler of the Year championship, and there he'll be able to build and hopefully earn a berth into the Classic. But I'm shooting the moon. The guy has a lot to lose with this tournament. He's on the outside of the bubble. So Bucket D going to go with Brett Hyde. And Bucket E, I went with Chris Lane. And I didn't think about it the way Coy had explained it. I'm using strictly momentum. And the guy that looks to have the most momentum in this bucket is, ironically, after a very difficult year, Chris Lane. He's not in danger of losing his ride, as with many of the guys in Bucket E are. You know, Chris Lane has too good of a history, and you get to throw out your worst season, probably this one. So he's, you know, he's safe. But he's not going to make the Classic, not going to make AOI, but there's pride on the line. Mm-hmm. A former Classic champ has got to put his season out on a good note.
Hey, one thing I think all of you should reconsider, and it is that no one chose Brett Ehler for this tournament. He's 15th in AOY. He's dangerous on these kind of waters. He's having a heck of a year. This may be his week.
It may be his week. He is looking for a win, and he's got 2 second places this year.
Yeah, that's right.
The Classic, and then I should have this in front of me. I know he's been close. So
and then at Rayburn as well.
It was Rayburn.
Yeah. You're right. Mm-hmm. So he's got momentum, and you're right. Nobody's even mentioned him.
Hey, I got one more question. Has anyone chosen the winner this year?
Well,
have you had a winner?
Pete
on your
did,
team?
Didn't you? You picked Aaron Martins.
Yeah. All right, Pete. I got to give it to you.
Other than that,
okay, I picked Jacob Wheeler at Cherokee.
Okay. All right. We're looking. That's,
a bucket.
All right.
A bucket E victory. That was amazing.
Wow.
That's like coming back from 19th place.
That is like coming back from 90s place. That's notable. Pretty sweet. We had a couple tournaments where Bucket E paid out pretty big. Oh, gentlemen, this has been fun. I know that it's been late. It's been a bit of a hectic show in our brand new palatial studios high atop the Bassmaster Towers, but it's been fun. Ronnie Moore had a hot date with a dinner plate, so he had to drop off. Real quick, do you guys, let's start with Pete. I know you got to go too. What are the chances Palahniuk's going to pull this off? Is he going to be your pick for the Angler of the Year this year?
He's fishing out of his head. You hate to bet against a guy who has that kind of momentum. It's kind of like Aaron 2 years ago, where he was just, you know, he had the bad tournament at the Sabine and then just went crazy the rest of the year, including at the end of the year. And you hate to bet against someone with Palahniuk's track record and his momentum going. So, yeah, I think he's going to get it done.
So, Coy, you picked Jacob Wheeler first tournament of the year. He's certainly not out of the Angler of the Year race. In fact, I think we looked at this, and it's pretty comfortable saying that the top, I don't know, what did we say, Jim? The top six or seven, if we say six, we got to say seven because mm-hmm. Ottafo and Edwin Evers are tied. And, of course, KVD's in eighth place. Man, what do you say, Coy? Who's out of it, or where is our line? What do you think?
I would say the big story is second, third, and fourth place because they're 40 to 43 points behind Brandon Palahniuk. And I'm thinking back Edwin Evers' year when he was just about to get there and he got taken by Aaron Martins the last second. That can happen. It can happen in the blink of an eye. One tournament, you're leading all year. I mean, it happens every year. Somebody goes on a tear for a while. Mark Davis won, or he was in the top four or something like that in six tournaments in a row 1 year and still lost. So you can have a crazy good season and you can have one bad event and it can send you down. And these three guys that are right behind him are not so far behind that, you know, it doesn't take much of a slip. Now, mm-hmm. fortunately, Brandon Palahniuk is insane with small mouth, like we've been talking about. I don't know that the pressure is going to get to him as much as he says, I'm not going to pay attention to it. The pressure's not going to bother me. It's going to get to him in some form or fashion. But I think that he's got the he's got the stamina to finish strong, and he's got the brain power to really lock that rod in his hand, be confident, and catch the big smallmouth. So I see Brandon Palahniuk. I don't know. I see him taking it all the way, but he's got people nipping at his heels. Jacob Wheeler, Casey Ashley, Jason Christie, all these guys are sticks. All these guys have the potential to jump up there and do it. If he slips, they're going to be waiting for him.
You know, Jason Christie is an interesting story. He was in the discussion early this season.
Led for a little while.
Yep. Had a tough season, fell out of it, and he's, you're right. If Jacob Wheeler and Casey Ashley, who are tied for second place, have a chance, then so does Jason Christie, who's only 3 points behind. And Greg Hackney's been another quiet riser this year.
Well, he has.
It would take him doing very well and Palahniuk falling pretty hard, but you look at that list all the way down to Van Dam, and again, I mean, go even a little further. You've got Cannell, who's had several great tournaments. Jordan Lee, Swindle in the top 12 for Angler of the Year right now. And Todd Faircloth in 12th. And those are guys that could do very well. Now, as far as taking the title, I don't know. What do you think? Is it Palahniuk's year to lose?
I think it's his to lose. I do think, you know, he could have a terrible tournament and the three guys behind him have a shot. Tough thing when you get to like Hackney at fifth or Ott Defoe at sixth, Evers at seventh. All those guys in front of him, in front of each of those guys, have to do poorly also.
Right.
So I could see Palahniuk having a terrible tournament. Actually, I'd really be surprised if that happened. But for five other guys to have terrible tournaments and open up the door for a Hackney or an Ott Defoe or an Edwin Evers, I think that's so unlikely.
It is unlikely, and if you fished any bass tournaments for any amount of time in your life, you realize that momentum is a huge factor, and there seems to be times where you simply cannot make a bad decision. And with the way Brandon is fishing, Pete said it best, he's fishing out of his mind. I don't see him faltering. He's a veteran at the sport. He's been around for several years. And, you know, I say veteran, but I mean that. Like, he fishes like he's been doing this
right.
for 30 years. So
yeah.
He's got that mentality. He knows how to win. He knows how to finish. He knows how to close. And he doesn't need to win this tournament to stay in the lead. He needs to do pretty good. He needs to do okay, really.
He needs to get inside the top 50.
That's right. I don't think he's going to lock it in at this tournament as Aaron Martins did a couple of years ago on the final day of St. Clair in 2015. Aaron Martins had already won Angler of the Year. I don't think we're looking at a situation like that unless Palahniuk wins.
Palahniuk wins it.
But that would also require these other guys to do a little
poorer.
So
if Wheeler came in second,
he'd still be in the hunt.
Yeah, it'd be right in there. So, I'll tell you the really amazing thing with this AOY list right now. You got Jacob Wheeler in second, first year on the elites. He's not a rookie because he's had a long fishing career, but he's still a rookie on the elites.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had a strong, strong year. You look at Dustin Cannell at ninth, really a true rookie. The guy's in ninth place. 11th, well, I'll go down a little further and say Jamie Hartman then at 13th. Another guy who really didn't have quite the great tournament at Champlain. He did well at St. Lawrence, but you know, his last two tournaments have not been the killer tournaments everybody thought they would be for him. But he's still sitting in 13th place in AOY. The one other note I'll make in here is Swindle at 11th. It's one of the most impressive years that I've seen in the sense that he won it last year. He's limping around this year with some knee problems. He's fishing with knee braces.
He's sitting at a lot of these tournaments.
Sitting for long periods of time. And he's 11th right now. So it's a very impressive year for Gerald.
I would love to see that guy win.
Wouldn't that be something?
It would be something else. Win a tournament.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like the Angler of the Year race is going to be in Swindle's favor this year. But to have another successful season, I mean, how many times have we seen guys win Angler of the Year or win the Classic, and then they're quiet the year after.
Have a drop off.
And I don't know if that's just a change in mindset. I don't know what it is, but normally that seems to be the case.
You know, it would be really fun to see Swindle win the Mille Lacs tournament, even if he doesn't do his poor year last year.
Oh, it was so tough on him. But hey, we've got a great way to wrap up the season. It is going to be exciting no matter how you look at it. It is a guarantee to be something kind of out of the ordinary, I guess you can just expect big things, big fireworks out of Brandon Palahniuk. If he does poorly, it's going to make good stories. I mean, it just is no way from our standpoint as fans, as content producers, to not have a great time seeing how this shapes up. And look, it's cool to see such a dominating year with Aaron Martins, right? But kind of takes a surprise out of
it. It's more fun when it's tight.
It's tight, and we have that race going right now. I would say if I was to cast a bet, it's going to come down to Christy, Ashley, Wheeler, Palahniuk. And I think it's Palahniuk's season to lose. He's got it right now. He fishes average at St. Clair, fishes average at Mille Lacs, which, by the way, he's done well at St. Clair, and he's done well at Mille Lacs. He did very well last year. So it's his season to lose. I'm excited. Hey, we are coming to you out of our new studio at the Bassmaster Towers, and it was a little rough with some connectivity here and there, but we got it done. From Pete Robbins, Ronnie Moore, Coy Greathouse, my co-host this week, the Veep, the man himself at Master Control, Jim Sexton. This has been a great time once again, and we'll catch up with you again as soon as St. Clair is over, and we're going to start making plans for the Angler of the Year tournament at Mille Lacs. And then after that, we get to talk a little bit about, and we're going to talk about this for fun, because unfortunately this year, the Classic Bracket Challenge, which is going to take place immediately after Mille Lacs, will not count towards your fantasy. So you've got two tournaments to make good decisions with your selections. I hope you win that boat. Then you can take me for a ride in that boat. I don't know.
I think so.
Maybe. Either way, thanks for being with us. This is Thomas Allen. You've been listening to Inside Bassmaster. We'll catch you here next time.